Hello, and welcome to episode 27 of Design Curious Podcast. I'm your host and mentor, Rebecca Ward. I'm so glad you're here today. I know I said I was going to talk about the value of being coached today, but I decided to put it off a few weeks to have it coincide with a coach that I will be interviewing. Instead, today, we're going to discuss this challenging topic, at least it is challenging to me, of finding your niche. So we will get into that in the episode, and I'll kind of explain why I find it challenging. But before we get into that, I wanted to mention that I love getting your ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts and everywhere that you get the podcast and listen to it. And we had another great one out of Hungary. Sophia says that it's great topics and they're really helpful before starting her own career. And so I'm so glad, Sophia, that you're listening from Hungary. Beautiful country. I did visit Budapest. Maybe I'll go back someday. I love hearing all of the feedback internationally as well and seeing people from all over the world listening in and finding out if interior design is the career for them. So I'm glad you're tuned in today. And if you'd like to leave me a rating and review, I would love that. And you can also connect with me on Instagram at rwarddesign.com. I love getting your messages there and answering any questions you might have about the career of interior design or even getting into the mentorship program that I have, my design mentor. All right, so let's get into the episode. You're now listening to Design Curious, a place where you, creative one, are here to learn about what it really is like to be an interior designer. And I'm your host and mentor, Rebecca Ward. If you're worried about how to succeed in a creative career, if you're ready to learn your next steps to become an interior designer, and if you want the satisfaction of doing something you love every day, you are in the right place. Grab a coffee, a notebook, and let's dig into today's episode. So I was thinking the other day that picking a niche is actually a lot like picking a major in college. And yes, you can do liberal arts major and get a lot of great job opportunities out of it. However, if there's something that you're really good at or really interested in and drawn towards, then that should be the major that you pick, that specific field. If it's science, if it's creative arts, mathematics, or music, most of the time people will pick a major that is in alignment with what their goals are in life and what their passions lie around. And I suppose some people will pick a major based on what other people think they should pick or what they think might be the most profitable route, whether or not they like it or not. So it could be law or medicine, a lot of those really taxing and difficult job positions. If you don't have a passion for that, then why are you going into it? Why are you going to spend all of your time and energy and effort towards something that does not give you satisfaction? It might pay the bills really well, and you might have a comfortable life around you, but will you have time to savor it and really enjoy it on your off time? So that's something to think about. But when it comes to a niche, then, for your design practice, do you have to have one? No, of course you do not. You can definitely get started out the gate without a specific niche. And a lot of designers do, and it's probably going to happen because in early days, you're taking on projects that you need to in order to pay the bills and to stay afloat. And you might not have the luxury of being able to pick and choose the clients and the projects that you take on. However, you can definitely have your marketing, your branding, and your messaging be something that you are passionate about or that you have knowledge of or that you just enjoy doing. And there are some designers on the other end of the spectrum who know exactly what they want to do, what they want to niche in, and come out of the gate with that specific niche. And that is definitely an option as well. Some people go to college knowing exactly what major they want, and instead of changing majors halfway through 4 or 5 times, they stick with the one from start to finish, and that's actually what I did in college. I knew I wanted to be a designer since I was young. Although I did take on a side degree of French, so I'm not sure what that says about me, except that I am multi-passionate. And I know that I was also considering a minor in astronomy because I took a few classes and you only needed 12 credits in order to get a minor in astronomy. And I had taken 6 of those. And so then I had to decide, well, do I want to take 2 more classes in order to get the minor just to say I got a minor? I mean, I really did like astronomy, but it was definitely not going to be useful to me in my future career. But I digress. So going back to niches, this is a topic that I personally have challenges with. I am, I would say, a generalist. I do love all different kinds of design. I don't like saying no to particular types of projects. And I do love the variety that comes with not having a specific niche claimed on my website, I would say. Although over the years, I have come to realize that I do, in a sense, have a niche. And over time, and with working with coaches, I have found that the niche that I do present myself with is that basically comes from my life experiences. So I gear my services towards busy families to which I can relate, they can relate to me, and clean, fresh, and contemporary design styles. So that is something that I enjoy working within. And I think for a long time, I thought that if I stated boldly and directly what my niche was, I would then alienate people from my services, which is kind of the point of a niche. But I thought it would just be so limiting and produce like a scarcity around my business that no one with a thought of having a slightly different design style or someone who maybe didn't have kids would ever reach out to me for my services, which is not the case, of course. People will see your work on your website and like it, whether they feel like they align 100% with your niche or not. They'll still reach out for your services because they might like you as a person. They might like your aesthetic and everything like that. So what are some areas that designers might niche themselves into? Well, you could do kitchen and bath design, a very common and specific niche where you focus only on remodeling or building new kitchens and bathrooms for people. And in that case, you likely are not going to do a whole house remodel, whole house furnishings, decorating, and things like that. However, if that's something you enjoy on occasion and your client asks for it, then you can offer it to them. Another area of niching is with your specific design style. So maybe you like to do modern farmhouse, or you like to do bohemian, mid-century modern, and you can definitely promote your niche by having projects in your portfolio that only show those styles. And so if someone came to your website and saw that your portfolio only has mid-century modern style of design in there, they will assume that that is what you do, that's what you're good at, and if that's what they're looking for, they should hire you because that's something that you're very experienced in. You can also niche with the function of the room. So it could, like I said, kitchen and bath, but you could also do like nurseries, kids' rooms, exercise rooms, outdoor room. So that's definitely a specialty you can get into. Oh, another good one is feng shui. And I do know a local designer who has learned and practices feng shui. And on occasion, I'll have a client call me and say, that they are really interested in applying feng shui to their home. And if I have any experience in doing this, and I will say, no, I have not learned it. I picked up one or two things along the way, but I definitely refer those people to the other designer who is a specialist in that area and really can understand the practice of feng shui. So knowing something like that could definitely be a niche if that's something that you really enjoy and believe in and you want to help your clients practice that in their homes to get the most out of it. That's a great niche to have. And you might be overthinking it. And so how I said that I speak mostly to families, and that's because of my own life experience. So you can draw on your own life experience to market to your ideal client. Perhaps you lived with your grandparents for a long time and you really understand what it is to age in place and that you can become an aging in place expert and really help people get the most out of their homes as they are aging. All right, so let's turn to you. And as you're thinking about what the possibilities of niching looks like for you and maintaining that abundant mindset that, like, as you are exploring something that you're passionate about, it will come through in your messaging and people will pick up on that and the authenticity of it and really be drawn and attracted towards it. And then you will be repelling people who might not be the ideal fit or the ideal client. And that is okay, because you want the most satisfaction out of your projects and your job that you can get. And a way to do this is by niching. So let's look at the possibilities. So you might want to consider project scope. So you could limit it to only doing furnishings and accessories, or only remodels, only additions, only new builds. Depending on what your experience is, you can definitely start gravitating towards these. I myself really focus on remodels because I've had very few new builds, and I have worked with an architect on doing additions. But again, new builds and additions are not my expertise. I have done a few, but I would say that there are challenges that come along with them that sometimes I really don't feel like facing. And so remodels are something that I could do night and day, and I really love it. And so I do focus on remodeling for those busy families. You could also focus on the client's lifestyle. So you could pick bachelors or professional couples without children. You could gear it towards young families with children. You could also do empty nesters, multi-generational families living in one home, or families with special needs, aging in place, like I said. So lifestyle of the client opens a huge range of possibilities. And again, you will want to draw from your life experience and what your expertise is, or what your passions are towards. If you really have a heart towards special needs kids and families that have to deal with it, and understanding the extra things that might go along with designing a bedroom or a kitchen for someone with special needs, then that could be your focus and you'll really attract people within that community. You could also consider clients' budget. So if you really love designing on a dime and you're great at finding the bargains, repurposing things, and helping your clients stay within a very fixed budget, which is great for first-time homebuyers and young families, then that can definitely be something. That's not something that I'm great at. I have referred potential clients to other designers who I know are great at designing on a dime. That's not something that I really excel at. And then you could work with a client's budget being moderate or super high-end luxury, if that's your experience as well. The types of residents you could also focus on. So whether it's apartment living, high-rise condos in the city, first-time home buyers, historic homes. And there's definitely a need for designers and architects who understand the difficulties of restoring an historic home and also the parameters that are placed around them when you're dealing with an official historic site. You could also focus on vacation homes, country homes, beachside homes, depending on the location, a mountain home. And then you can, what people most naturally think of when they talk about niching is do the design style. So like I said, farmhouse, you could do zen, boho chic, mid-mod, maximalist or minimalist. And oftentimes you will develop your own design style niche over time as people see your portfolio and then they're drawn to that, and then you do more of those types of projects. And that's kind of how I developed a lot of my portfolio as well. So next, what you will want to do once you have landed on a niche or a niche direction is explore a little more with visualizing the type of client that fits within that niche. So you want to have a really good idea, a really good avatar of your ideal client. And what is really recommended is to write down a whole description of that person. What was their upbringing? Where did they work? What kind of lifestyle do they live? What do they like? What are their hobbies? What are their pain points that your design will solve for them? So you have a really good picture in mind of who you're marketing towards. And then you start working on your messaging. And you do this one way is like to write a list of words that describe your ideal client's project in feeling and aesthetic. So you might use words like warm or fresh or cozy, clean, vibrant, casual, elegant, sophisticated. So these descriptive words can be a driving force of your marketing for your niche. And you'll want all of your social media platforms to be consistent with these words and images that you're using to create your portfolio and to start to attract your ideal client within that niche. And then the last thing to remember is that you're not married to your niche forever if it is not working out for you. So you might want to try it out for a year or two and see if you're liking the direction that you chose, if you're attracting people that you like to work with. And if you discover that it's not working for you, no big deal. Change your marketing, change your messaging, and pivot to another niche that you might like. I mean, you have to maintain that abundant mindset that there's more than enough people out there who want to work with you, and you just have to get your messaging right to find those people. So if it's not working for you, a niche year or two, just like changing your major, you can always change it and go toward in a direction that really aligns with what you're feeling and what you love to do. So there you have it, kind of an introduction to niches and niching in an interior design business. I would say I still have to do some self-coaching and get coaching around the idea of niching because I find that I'm just resistant to it sometimes, or at least just embracing the label of having a niche. So if that's something that you are also struggling with, I am happy to help you walk through that process based on my experiences and my learning. And sometimes it's easier to tell someone else what to do than it is yourself. So if you would like help with it, you can always come into my design mentor and I can work with you on this, finding your niche and other areas of launching your design career. And you can find the information for that in the show notes. You can also visit my website, rwarddesign.com. There you can find all of the show notes. You can find information about my design mentor, the other courses that I have. You can also see my portfolio and the messaging that I put out there to my clients. So that might be something you want to take notice of. So that's it for me this week. I will be back next week with a wonderful interview with a designer who is niched into the kitchen and bath industry, and she talks about how she started and how she got into that. So you'll find that very interesting. So come back next week for that. Until then, stay creative. Thanks for listening. If you love this episode, please leave a rating and a review. This helps me reach other curious creatives like you. If you have a topic request or would like to contact me, simply head over to my website, rwarddesign.com, or email me at podcast@rwarddesign.com.